Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble. Tremble. Were you there when they laid him in the to the cross where your love pours.
worship Jesus tonight with all of our heart. We won't hold back from you, Jesus. We love you.
When I serve, bids me come and
Presence of God in this place tonight. Can you feel him? His love is here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you know it, sing it. What can wash away my sin?
Nothing but the blood of
but the blood. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Jesus paid it.
Gateway family and guests. I see a lot of new people here tonight. We're honored that you're here tonight, and we want to thank you for coming out on this Good Friday remembrance of what Jesus did several thousand years ago for us. We're going to segue at this moment here to probably one of the most intimate times that we have in our fellowship here. It's called communion. We're going to be taking communion, but Paul said to the Corinthian church, he said, it's the communion of the bread and the communion of the blood. The communion is the word ekklesia. I'm sorry, koinonia. It's the koinonia. Koinonia means fellowship. And so we have fellowship because of the bread and of the cup, whereby the Holy Spirit, how many know the Holy Spirit is still doing today what Jesus paid for us several thousand years ago? And it is in that moment, listen, it's in that moment of intimacy with the Holy Spirit that we remember that Jesus suffered three ways. One, we see a cross here. We see the crown of thorns. Jesus suffered physically. We know that. And that was a horrible, horrible crucifixion. But number two is he suffered. Isaiah said when the Father saw the travail of his soul, we'll never understand the depth of him carrying the guilt and the shame and the suffering of pain simultaneously for all of mankind at one moment. So he suffered in his soul. But then also the third one, perhaps the most devastating one, is when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Abandoned by the Father, the one that loved him, the Father turned his face and heaven was silent. And in that moment, he took every sin, every pain, every guilt. And there's people tonight, you need to hear this again. And when we take communion here in a few minutes, when we have fellowship, we ask the Holy Spirit to apply again the blood of Jesus. Because you see, when Jesus died on the cross, the first drop of blood that hit the earth was the freshest drop of moisture that touched this earth since the fall of Adam. And the power of the blood is still available here tonight to continue to wash us clean. Amen. So here's what we're going to do. So we're going to be a little bit differently than we do it typically on a Sunday morning. I need you to find three or four people. We're going to get into groups as a family or friends around you. We're going to get into groups, maybe three, four, or five people, maybe turn around. And I want you to look around right now and just take a minute and do that right now. Find out who you're going to share communion with here tonight. Okay, so once you have your group, everybody pay attention. Here's what we're going to do. Pick a representative from your group. And we have four locations. There's two up in the front here. Pastor John's over here. I'm going to be over here in the front on the left and on the right. And then there's two locations in the back. We have these little cups. In these cups, we have the bread and the juice contained, and it's easy to peel the top off. What we're going to have you do is, as a group together, huddle up, pray for one another, take communion together, and take the time to just thank God for this night. Thank God for the opportunity to remember together the miracle of the cross and the power that we have as a result of God's love in our life. Is everybody ready? Everybody got a spokesperson to go to the tables? Okay, go ahead and do that quickly. Do that now, and then take communion as a little group there together by yourself.
as far as heights reach from the depths, as far as east is from the west, until at last I've won my race. Until I see you face to face, until at last I've won my race. Remind me you're not finished yet.
We just give you this moment right now, God. This night, this weekend, our lives, God, they belong to you. They belong to you. There's nothing more precious that we could be doing right now. There's no better place that we could be. There's no thought more pressing. So God, we just choose right now to put our focus on you. The week can wait. The week can wait. Because as long as we have our moments with you, where we get to lift our hands and get down on our knees, everything else will just fall into place. Everything else will take care of itself. God, I don't want anything to get in between you and my worship. No trouble too big. No mountain too tall. No fear so great. No depression so heavy. No anxiety so nagging that it will not bow to you when we lift our hands. That it will not take a back seat when we decide to step into your presence. So God, we just put our focus on you. We put our focus on you right now. And we give you praise. God, I ask that you would speak. I ask that you would speak to your people. I ask, God, that the words that I'm saying tonight, that they wouldn't be my words, that they wouldn't come from my mind, that they would come straight from the throne room. You have something that you want to say to each and every single one of your children. So God, I pray that everything that you have planned to say to them, God, that it would reach their ears, that it would reach their hearts. And God, I thank you that even though I have only one stream of thought, that as the words are coming out of my mouth, that you can say exactly what you want to say to our hearts, God. So we just open up our hearts to you. I ask that your word would speak powerfully. I ask that your Holy Spirit would be so very present as it has been since the start of this gathering. God, I pray that we'd be able to stay in this place of awe and wonder of you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. There's a lot of people here. How you guys doing? That was beautiful worship. I could have just kept on worshiping. In case you don't know me, my name is Jordan Canistraci, and I'm so glad that you guys are here. I'm so happy to be here with you on Good Friday. And as I was thinking through what it was that God wanted to say tonight, leading up to tonight, I was stricken with insane allergies. Is anybody else dealing with allergies right now? For those of you that aren't raising your hands, we hate you. I actually, you know what? I didn't suffer with allergies until like 4 years ago. So the first time that it hit me, I thought I was dying. And I kept on taking cold medicine and I kept on, and nothing worked. And April said to me, I think you have allergies. And I said, no, I'm not one of those people. And so over the next couple years, I had to go through the extreme humbling. But I saw this thing on Instagram the other day. It said, no pollen formed against me will prosper. Claritin 316. So I'm good and drugged up right now. And I'm sorry if that offends your faith. But we'll get through it. Let's just call it the Holy Spirit. All right, this message tonight is for anybody that's going through a hard time. I believe that there are some people in this room right now that you're going through the fight of your life. Something catastrophic can happen to us, and we can feel like we've been knocked down, and sometimes we could feel like we need to stay down, especially if this isn't the first hard thing that you've been going through. If your life is perfect, this message is not for you. I believe that God wants to speak something to the people in this room that are going through the time of their life. And I wanna read a section of scripture. This is Good Friday, so we're gonna talk a little bit about the crucifixion. But I wanna give a little context for this scripture. We're gonna read a portion of it, but this is right after Jesus had been arrested. And he had been put through this kind of mock trial. But really, the trial wasn't very just because it was run by the crowd. And so it had been decided, long story short, that Jesus was going to be crucified. Even though he was an innocent man, even though he hadn't done anything wrong. So let's put that up on the screen. And we're just going to read for a little bit. So stick with it. And this is after the trial, after the crowd decided that they wanted Jesus crucified. The soldiers of the governor took Jesus and gathered the whole Roman cohort around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe around him. And after twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head. And a reed in his right hand. And they knelt down before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." They spat on him and took the reed and began to beat him on the head. After they had mocked him, they took the scarlet robe off and put his own garments back on him and led him away to crucify him. As they were coming out, they found a man of Cyrene named Simon, who they pressed into service to bear the cross. So they found this guy after beating Jesus in the head. They figured that probably he couldn't carry the cross. So they found a man in the crowd, and they pulled him out, and they said, "You're going to carry the cross the rest of the way." When they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they gave him wine to drink and mixed with gall. And after tasting it, he was unwilling to drink. And when they had crucified him, they divided up his garments among themselves by casting lots, basically by gambling to see who would get it. And sitting down, they began to keep watch over him there. Isn't that interesting that when he was up on the cross, and as they were mocking him, they were still watching. They were still guarding him. Because even though it was great to mock, and even though it was great to join in with the crowd, they thought, you know, we better watch him just in case. And above his head, they put up the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." At that time, two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those passing by were hurling abuse at him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." You know, as you're going through your greatest struggle, there will be people to kick you while you're down. There will be people around you that aren't your friends. And sometimes we can put so much weight on what people around us think or say, even though they're not the ones that are going to help us. In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him and saying, "He saved others. He can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him now come down from the cross, and we'll believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now. If he delights in him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" You know, sometimes, and it is interesting that Jesus, being the Son of God, you know, the Father God could have saved Jesus from that cross, could have saved him from his trial. And sometimes we go through the crazy things that we go through, and we go, God, you can save me from this. Why don't you help me? And because God doesn't save us from something, sometimes we can doubt that we really are children of God. But the truth is that the lack of God saving you from your trial is not a sign that you're doing something wrong. Sometimes God has placed you in that place of trial because he's setting you up for something greater. The robbers who had been crucified with him were also insulting him with the same words. Now from the sixth hour, darkness fell upon all the land until the ninth hour. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli. I'm going to try this. I practiced this. Lama sabachthan. Pretty good. Someone who speaks Greek is like, that's not good. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of those who were standing there, when they heard it, began saying, this man is calling for Elijah. Immediately, one of them ran, and taking a sponge, he filled it with sour wine and put it on a reed, and he gave Jesus a drink. But the rest of them said, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split. The tombs were open, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tomb after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now, the centurion and those who were with him, keeping guard over Jesus, watch this. When they saw the earthquake and the things that were happening, became very frightened and said, truly, this is the Son of God. The title of the message tonight is Your Earthquake Is Not Your End. When Chloe was a baby, and you know, April and I were brand new parents, and I was in my office working, and I was away from my phone. April drove my car up, which she wasn't used to driving my car, to the parking lot, and she had accidentally, she didn't know that the doors on my car, they would automatically lock after a few seconds. So Chloe was strapped into her car seat. How old was Chloe at this point? 10 months. So Chloe was strapped into her car seat. And of course, the car locked and April panicked. And for some reason, Chloe immediately started crying because for some reason she knew that something was wrong. April tried calling me. I was away from my phone. April tried calling everybody that she knew to call. And finally, someone called the fire department. I think it was Pastor Ann that called the fire department. And Pastor Brian came and he found me and he told me, your daughter is locked in the car. She's been locked in the car for a while. She's screaming her head off. Your wife is crying. So I ran frantically from my office down to the parking lot. I saw April, I saw Chloe, I looked at Chloe, and just instinctively, I turned around and I ran back into the building to get a crowbar. So I just knew where the crowbar was. I don't know, I'd never seen a crowbar in the church before, but I knew where it was. I ran to that crowbar. I picked it up. I turned back around. I ran back out to the parking lot. This is a big building, so it's quite a bit of running. I got out to the parking lot, and I just knew I was winding up on my way. I wasn't even going to stop. Thankfully, I got a couple feet from my car, and the fire truck pulled in. But man, I was ready to bash that window and get my daughter. And so the fire truck came, and they opened the car, and they got us our daughter. And, you know, I think about Chloe, of course, being 10 months old, she doesn't know a whole lot of what's going on. She just knows that she doesn't want to be there. She knows that she's scared. She knows that she can't move. And, you know, seeing me look at her and then turn and run, it could have seemed to her like I was leaving her. And she didn't know that I was running to get something that would free her. And before we met Jesus, you and I were Chloe. We were bound up. We were scared. We were alone. We were afraid. We were helpless, helpless to help ourselves. And whether you and I knew it, we were powerless to free ourselves from the thing that enslaved us. And in Matthew 27, verse 46, it says that Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some people think that in that moment that the Father God actually turned his back on Jesus. And at the darkest part of the day, the earth shook. And we can look around and we can ask, is this the end? Or is this my life? When I'm trapped by depression, when I'm bound up by anxiety, when it feels like I can't get away from poverty, when it feels like I can't escape the darkness around me, is this it? Is that my life? But even though sometimes we feel like we cry out to God and we feel like he's turned his back on us or we feel like he's left us, just like Jesus felt that way, I came here tonight to tell somebody that God has not left you. He is just going for his crowbar, and he is coming back for you. He is coming back. Don't let the absence of the feeling of God stop you. And for those of you tonight that are here and you've never accepted Jesus into your life, because man, I just feel like God would run from me. I feel like, why would God want to save me? I'll tell you why. It's because whether you know it or not, you're God's child. God created you. You are not a mistake. You are not a problem. You are not a burden on God. It wasn't like I was annoyed at Chloe. It wasn't like I was worried about my car. But man, I was going to do whatever I needed to do to get to my daughter. God wants to do, he's going to do whatever it is that he has to do to get to you, to show you that he loves you, that he cares about you, that he has a plan for you, that he has a purpose for your life, that he has mercy for you, that he has grace for you, that he has love for you, unconditional love, the love that wouldn't let anything get in the way between him and you. And sometimes when you're in the middle of your greatest earthquake, you can feel like giving up. One more story. In the 1980s, in the country of Armenia, there was this insane earthquake. It took the lives of 25,000 people, left millions homeless. And on that morning, a father was taking his elementary school son to school. He was driving with him, got out of the car, took him to his classroom, said, "Love you, son. I'll see you later." I just heard this story like a week ago from Pastor Jeremy Foster. It was crazy. I'm going to try to get through it. Said, "All right, son, I love you. I'll see you later." He got in his car and he started driving. And he got maybe a few minutes away from the school. And he looked in front of him at the road and he started to see waves and buildings crumble. And suddenly the wave went past him in the direction of his son's school. And he felt this incredible fear come over him. Not fear for himself, but fear for his son. So he turned the car around, and as fast as he could, he made his way through the cracked streets, and he got to the school. And with terror, he discovered that the school building was flat. He got out of the car, engine still running, left the door open, ran over to about the spot that his son's classroom would be, and he just started digging. He started digging, moving concrete slabs and wood and rocks and rubble, and he just kept digging all day, and then it got dark, and he kept digging. For 24 hours, he kept digging. And people that passed by, their hearts broke for this grieving father. Another day passed, 48 hours, he kept digging. And then people felt so sorry for him. And a couple of people even tried to get him to stop. There's no way that anyone could have survived that. But they realized that maybe this guy's just grieving. This is his way of grieving. And at about 36 hours of digging, he hears a noise under this slab of concrete. And so he gets up and he looks around and he sees some people walking by and he says, "Help me! Help me move this!" And so they run over and together they lift up this giant slab of concrete to reveal like this empty cocoon. And inside that empty space were 13 students and a teacher, and one of those students was his son. And his son looked at him and he said, "Dad, I told them that you would come for me. I kept telling them that you would come for me." God has not forgotten about you. God has not left you. God has not abandoned you. God has not forsaken you to your problem for you to deal with it on your own. He has not counted you as a lost cause. God is looking to find you again. And he will dig no matter how deep, no matter how long, no matter how tired others would appear, no matter if other people would give up, No matter if other people would say that person is a lost cause, I believe that tonight some of the lost causes are going to find their Father. I believe that tonight the Lord wants to redeem you. He wants to show you that you have a place. He wants to show you that you have a Creator who loves you. He wants to show you that He's going to do anything. I came here tonight to tell somebody that if it seems like God's turned His back, God is coming back for you. And tonight, I think, is that night. I believe tonight is that night. And that's what this short message is all about. That's what this whole night, that's what this whole weekend, that's what this building, that's what this church is here for. This church is only here so that you could realize, whether you knew it or not, God brought you into this room. Can you guys stand with me just all across this room? Let's stand. And I want to ask, I want to ask if there's somebody in here that feels like, man, their life is just, it's like they've gone through an earthquake and they wonder if God is there. I want to ask you guys to make a couple decisions tonight. The first decision that I want you to consider making is, if you've never met Jesus before, if you've never opened your life to Him, if you've never opened your heart to Him and said, Jesus, I need you to be my Savior, I want to give you that opportunity tonight. I believe that tonight is your moment, that God has come for you tonight. Can everybody close your eyes? Just all over this room, close your eyes. Nobody's looking around. I don't want to embarrass you. I don't want you to feel like you're being put on the spot. I just want to give you an opportunity. You know, God loves you very much. If that's you, I'm just going to ask you to put your hand up so that I can pray for you. Keep it up. We're not going to rush this moment. I see those three hands right there. One, two, three. God sees those hands. Who else? Right now, it's your moment. Four hands, I see that. I see that hand. Come on, God is digging for you. God is moving things right now that are between you and Him. He's coming to find you. Five hands, six hands. Okay, go ahead and put those hands down. The second decision that I want to ask you to consider is, maybe you at one point were close with Jesus, and just over the years or over the months, or whether you intentionally did it or whether it just happened, maybe you just drifted from God, and tonight you're saying, I want to come back to Jesus tonight. Can I see your hands? And I want to pray with you. One, two, three hands. Keep them up, four hands. Come on, five hands, six hands, seven hands. I see the hand, eight hands, nine hands. Who else? Who else is coming back to Jesus tonight? 10, I see you in the back. Who's coming back to Jesus tonight? 11, I see you. Okay, you can put your hands down. 12, I see that hand. And all across this room, whether you raise your hand or not, I'm just going to say a simple prayer, and I just want you to repeat after me. And for those of you that are saying this prayer for the first time, I believe that after tonight, your life is never going to be the same, that you're making a turn, that you're deciding to walk towards Jesus with your whole life, that that from now on, you're saying to everything else, you're saying to everything else, you're taking a back seat. I'm not gonna make anything else the focus of my life. I'm gonna walk towards Jesus with everything that I have. So repeat after me, dear Jesus, I need you. I'm lost without you. I want to open my heart to you. I need you to be my Savior. I need you to be my King. I dedicate my whole life to you. I don't want anything else. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. And it's as simple as that. You took the first step to walk towards Jesus. Now, so we had maybe 6 hands that decided tonight for the first time that they were going to turn their lives over to Jesus, and then another 12 coming back. Can we give God praise?
Was a phone call that you feared, and it took your breath away. In a moment's time, your world forever changed. You say, why God let it happen? Why the silence from above? You wonder if he cares, you wonder if you're. Let me take you to the cross. Let me stand there by your side as we look into the face of the one who chose to die. When your story has been shattered, you feel all alone and lost, and you're asking if you're loved. Let me take you to the cross. That scene upon the hill, I see it as a stage where truth is being told. It shouts from age to age. It declares a heart of heaven. It's that place where hope begins. So when questions cloud your faith and doubts are closing in, let me take you to the cross. Let me stand there by your side as we look into the face of the one who chose to die. When your story has been shattered,
let me take you to
Let's all stand up and just give God praise for Good Friday, what he's done for us. Come on, let's just lift up praise to the Lord tonight. For he is good. The cross is finished. We live because of that here tonight. Hey, let's give it up for the choir, for the worship team. Amen. And a special thank you to Julie Goodall. She put it all together here. Amen. One more thing. A few days before Jesus went to the cross, there was this gathering in Bethany, and there's this lady that came in and had very expensive perfume, and she just poured it on Jesus. And there was a fragrance, there was a worship, right, that went up. And that's what we do in our worship, amen? We don't, maybe somebody will bring a bottle of perfume Sunday, you may just come up here and pour it on Pastor David or something, whatever. No, don't do that. But how many know in the New Testament our worship is that fragrance, offering the sacrifice of praise to the Lord, amen? But how many also know that there's a number of other ways? We're gonna receive an offering. Go ahead and have a seat. That's one of the ways that we show appreciation to Jesus for all he's done, is giving it an offering, free will, and using the currency we have today. And there's a number of ways to give here at Gateway. I don't know if the screen shows that, but there's text to give. There's the envelopes in your seat backs in front of you, give online, etc. here. But let's just receive an offering here, and let's just believe God to meet every need here tonight. Amen. Father, we thank you as the ushers come forward. Lord, we just thank you for your grace of what you've, Lord, again, shown us your love. Displayed it on the cross, and even as Pastor Jordan said, Lord, you're coming for us. Even if it's with a crowbar, Lord Jesus, you were the answer to all mankind's needs. And we thank you for that tonight. We give you praise, even in this offering. Ushers, what's laid upon the people, let's continue to worship.
Let's all stand together. Come on, join with me. Let's stand. We're going to dismiss the service. If you don't know me because you're new, my name is David Canastraci. For years, people have called me Pastor David. Lately, it's been Pastor Jordan's dad. Let's thank Pastor Jordan for that message. That was great. Great. If you're new here, we're just thrilled that you would spend a part of your weekend with us. It's a very special opportunity for us to host you, and we would love to get to know you. There's a card right in front of you that says, I'm new here. And we'd love to get your information. We won't pester you or bother you, but we do have a gift that we'd like to give to you in the lobby at the Welcome Center. And those of you that raised your hands on the other side, if you would just let us know the decision that you made tonight by indicating that on the card as well. Walk that card out to our welcome team in the lobby. They have a gift bag. It's just our way of saying thank you and that we're with you and we're glad you're here and we want to be your friend. Let's thank the Lord for this evening in prayer. Let's ask him for his blessing and just go. And by the way, before I pray and let you out the door, I want to let you know the weekend is just starting. So tomorrow morning, it goes like this. Tomorrow morning, the doors open at 6 a.m. Why? Because we're going to pray. Tonight, a couple dozen made a decision for Christ, and we're praying for 100 souls all the way through this weekend. We have 5 locations and about 7 or 8 services taking place this weekend. So we're going to have a prayer meeting in the morning, and you can come anywhere between 6 and 8. And then Sunday morning, the first service is 8:30, second service is at 10, and the third service is at 11:30. We would love for you to come and bring someone with you. All right? I hope to see you soon. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you that nothing can stop you when you are on a mission to save and heal and set free. Lord, we ask you to just let the blessing of Good Friday rest on us. Consciousness that our sins are forgiven and that we serve a God who loves us. Let your blessing, the blessing of the Holy Spirit, grace and peace rest deeply on every heart as we are dismissed. Through Christ we pray. Amen. God bless you. Turn to 2 or 3 people. Tell them you're glad to meet them and get to know them. Thank you, Julie. Thank you, choir. Thank you, worship team. Marvelous. God bless you, everyone. Good night.